Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better, even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing
and make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am uber excited. Today, we're going to be talking about PR, which stands for not public restroom, but public relations. And we're going to be talking with Hank Eater of Hank Eater PR and Marketing. And he's a guy that's down in Asheville, North Carolina, and it is a pleasure to talk with you, Hank, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here with you today, too.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So what I like to do to kind of kick things off, since people probably don't know who you are, is give them an opportunity to get to know you. So how did you go from scooping poop in a pool net to helping people get scooped by getting their stuff found on the internet?
That is a great way to put it. You know, that goes back a long way. You know, you mentioned the poop scooping gig, and that was, I was all of 14 years old when I used to work at the pool deck of hotels in Miami Beach. And for a young, impressionable, you know, guy, that was a great position because, you know why? Girls. But when the old guy did his thing in the pool, who do you think had to go take care of that with the pool net? That was me. But since that was just an after-school job and I wasn't looking to make a career out of scooping poop out of swimming pools, I went on to do a number of things. And I was influenced by a cousin of mine who had been an advertising copywriter for some pretty big agencies in New York. And I always admired her a lot, and I knew I wanted to do something with writing. So over time, when I went to school, I majored in journalism and communications. I got a degree in journalism, and I was a news reporter. I was an editor. And then, you know, as you go through life, you get different changes and different opportunities. I worked for advertising agencies. I worked for PR agencies. I did some work with an independent video production company for a while. So I picked up a lot of experience over the years. And over time, I just kind of brought everything back full circle and decided that since I've picked up all of this knowledge of, you know, how things are done in the publicity world, I just put it to work for myself instead of looking for more jobs. And that led to me having the Hank Eater Public Relations, but it also led to some other things, which I think we're going to talk about later.
Absolutely. So what I like to do is give my audience some takeaways, and I want to get them to understand PR. So define PR the way it used to be and the way it is today. Is there any difference between PR back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, and the way it is today? And you don't have to get into the specifics, just kind of, you know, what's the scope?
Well, you know, there's romanticized versions of what people think PR is from those days and things they've seen in movies about, you know, the influencers. There is some truth behind the fact that you know, the old expression, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Actually, it's both. But the thing about PR is the art of schmoozing and getting to know a lot of people that are the influencers and the gatekeepers in the news and in publicity. And I think it's still done in very similar ways today as it would have been done in the 60s and 70s. It's just that I think the individual PR agencies, with the exception of some of the really big ones in New York and California, have probably less influence than they did back in the day, because over time, you know, it's kind of like the music revolution, where today most anybody who's got a little home studio and the gumption can make music. Well, today, anybody who's got the gumption and a little bit of know-how can get publicity for their business, and they can more or less become their own PR expert. Not to say that working with a firm will not get them some advantages, because, you know, let's face it, a lot of business people are just too busy to want to take on all of the aspects of it. But I think that what's changed is the ubiquitousness of the online world and how easy it is to get information out there in so many ways.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about PR, and I've heard this said numerous times, any PR is good PR. Even bad PR is good PR because people are talking about you. And you don't necessarily want that. You obviously want the good stuff coming out. You want to have a positive spin on things. So there's, I think there's two parts about this. Number one is obviously creating PR, writing the story. And then the second thing is getting it placed somewhere where other people can read it, because obviously PR that nobody reads is not very public relating. So talk about what are some of the things that people have to think about when creating, you know, the PR document or the PR email or whatever it is. What are the most important things they need to think about?
Okay, traditionally, PR is done through press releases, except for the one-on-one stuff that comes to with actually knowing reporters and editors and influencers. But when we go back to the document that you spoke of, one of the first things you have to keep in mind is that document has to be driven by an event. It's not enough to send out a press release, you know, that I'll give you an example. We had a lawyer in Asheville who went to Toastmasters because even though he was a lawyer, he was terrified of public speaking. Well, you think that would make a pretty good human interest story and the papers would want to jump on that. Oh, we have a lawyer that's terrified of public speaking who's going to Toastmasters. But no, they want an event. So press releases, first of all, are event driven. There has to be an event. So, you know, we came up with the event that would go around that, which was some kind of an open house from the local Toastmasters, and then dovetailed that to the story of the attorney who was terrified of speaking in public and how he used Toastmasters to get over that. So that's the first thing. A press release must be event-driven. And then you write it very much like a news story, but in a condensed way. It has to have a headline that catches attention. That's the first thing, catching the attention. Has to have a lead paragraph. It has to have body copy that flows and relates to the initial event. And it has to have different resources, photos, videos, links, etc. And that's the same whether you yourself are sending out a press release on behalf of your own small company, or if a PR person is doing that for you. Those things are the same. And it's also the same as if it's going out on a local or regional level to publication specifically, or if it's going out through one of the press release distribution services like PR Web. You know, all of those things that I mentioned are all part of what has to be in there in order to get it, first of all, you know, even looked at and then accepted for dissemination.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. So now we have the formula of what needs to be in there. And I think, you know, people knowing that it has to be an event. So in other words, it's something that comes and goes. It's not just, hey, I'm the greatest person since buttered bread. So let's look at this from three different perspectives. First one being, okay, I want to get my local area, whether it's newspaper, online thing. I want to get to my national, but then talk the last piece about, we'll get into just online in general. So let's talk about, let's say, local newspapers. What are the opportunities, or what do people have to think about getting into local news, whether it's newspaper, radio, TV, whatever?
Well, the first thing to think about is due diligence. The easiest way to look at it is, if you are an artist who's having a gallery opening and you send a press release to the food critic, it's not going to win you any points and it's not going to get you in there. So you have to know your market. And that's easy enough to do by getting online and finding out who are the influencers in your local publications. And that's all on their website if you know how to look for it. So that's part of it, due diligence. You know, find if you're a business person who's putting out, you're about to do a seminar that's going to help local businesses grow their publicity or grow their image or something about something that you're doing that's going to help local business people to improve, then you're definitely going to want to send that to the business editor or the main business reporter of your local publication or whoever the business reporters are for your local radio or TV stations. Again, it's due diligence. Find out who they are. When you can get a name, use that name, because people like to be addressed more, you know, more personally by name. It shows that you've taken the time to get this to the right person. It shows that if you care enough to do that, you're probably a fairly reliable source of local news.
Awesome. So what about from a national standpoint? What's the scope there? You know, obviously, you know, the event could be online, could be televised or something like that. What's the difference between trying to get into a local thing and a national?
I think if you're doing a strictly an online event, as you just mentioned a moment ago, and it's got enough of a wide appeal that it would be of interest to larger numbers of people and not just something that would appeal to, you know, I'm using Asheville because I'm here in Asheville, but, you know, you have something that's of interest to Asheville, it wouldn't fly for a national magazine like Rolling Stone or something like that. But if you're putting on some kind of an event that could be like an online, I'm just making up examples. Let's say you're running an online film festival and you want to get noticed by national publications, then it's still very much the same thing. In that case, you would look for the entertainment editor of a national publication. If you were looking for something like Entertainment Weekly, you would try to find out who is the best person for getting this news across. And I would recommend reading a number of stories in that publication to know, you know, the type of stories that they print and what kind of style they're really looking for. Although if you catch their attention, that's not always the most important thing. If you catch their attention, a best case scenario, especially with a national publication, is that they notice that you've got something they're interested in, and then they'll assign a reporter to interview you and get the story their way. When you're dealing with national publications, they're more likely to do that than just to take a press release and print it. Local papers and local stations, you know, we mentioned radio and TV. A lot of times you won't get that press release out to a local radio or TV station on the air, but many, many times you get that press release out to them. They're very happy to have that on their web page. And they all have web pages, and they're all looking for news to put on their web pages. So if it's got that angle. But with the national publications, they're a little bit harder. One thing to keep in mind is that they have a very long lead time. You know, you're looking at something like a magazine, like let's just name one, Newsweek. You know, and you're looking for a June issue or let's say a September issue of Newsweek. That September issue of Newsweek was probably finished, you know, sometime in early August, with the exception of maybe late breaking news that will make them look more timely. So you have to keep deadlines in mind when you're dealing with national publications specifically. And, you know, it takes a little bit familiarity. Sometimes it's going to take more than one contact with them to get them to notice you. Mm-hmm. And there's a fine line between contacting them and learning, you know, getting them what they want and being a pest. You certainly don't want to be a pest. You want to learn how to have them look forward to hearing from you because they know you're going to give them some news they can use.
Gotcha. So it's your typical relationship marketing kind of stuff. You want to build a relationship with somebody. You don't want to just connect with them on LinkedIn and send them things, because obviously they get hit up with that all the time. And that usually just leads to the stuff getting trashed or not looked at. So what about online? So, you know, again, you talked about websites and lead times and those kind of things. But what about something like, up here we have something called the Patch, which used to be owned by AOL, and I'm not even sure if it's around anymore. I haven't looked at it in years. But what about the self-serve online market? I mean, you know, getting your stuff into calendars and those kind of things. Is that worth the time? Is that something that people should pay attention to?
It definitely is. And it's interesting that you mentioned calendars, because that's an often overlooked segment that people don't think of when they're looking for free publicity. Most local publications, for example, have a calendar. Whether they're a daily newspaper or a weekly newspaper, they have a calendar. And if you can get into that calendar, people look for events, people look for things to do in that calendar. Now, making the leap to online, 99% of them that have a calendar have the calendar both in their print edition and in their online edition. When dealing with younger folks, they're likely not looking at print editions of newspapers. They're looking online. You know, they might be looking at the same weekly newspaper that somebody's reading, but they're reading it online. They just don't, they don't connect with the print copy for whatever reason. And getting into the local newspaper calendar is a very valuable source of free publicity. So it's like a win-win, because you submit it and you're submitting it both to print and to online. So you definitely should use that online source. Then, of course, you've got influential bloggers. Depending on what your topic is, you really should look for the influential bloggers. Recently, I've been doing some PR for a concert venue that's out tucked away in the Blue Ridge Mountains, about 2.5 hours from Asheville, North Carolina. And we've been getting some publicity through things like the North Carolina travel blog and business blogs that are, you know, find those kind of stories interesting. So yeah, there's a lot of bloggers out there that the online presence is very, very important these days to getting your message across, depending, of course, on what your message is and who it's trying to reach. And if you're trying to reach the younger folks particularly, online is a lot more effective than trying to do it in print, even on radio or television. The online is the medium for them.
Gotcha. And as the title of my first book says, it's not about you, it's about bacon. So my point being is that when you're writing PR, you want to do it as if it's going to excite the person that would come to the event, as opposed to just spouting off about how great you are, right?
Oh, definitely, because nobody cares about how great you are. Nobody cares about, you know, whatever awards you've won, and, you know, they just don't care about that. They want to know, and that's a very, very good question there, Brian. They want to know, first and foremost, what's in it for me? And if you can get that across quickly, without looking like you're trying to sell something. I mean, that's a fine line, because when you're dealing with PR, it's not paid advertising. You know, if you're buying an ad on a television station or in a newspaper, you could pretty well say anything you want because it's direct sales advertising. But with PR, you are trying to basically get an organic representation of your event into something that somebody's going to find and be more willing to look at than they might be for advertising. So it should be something that grabs their attention, but at the same time doesn't appear like a direct sales pitch. So yeah, you have to come up with something that really grabs them. And that's where your event, the more unique your event can be, and the more unique the headline that you make about your event that tells exactly what it is they're getting into, there's the secret of what you just asked. Once again, it's got to be benefit-driven. If someone sees the benefits in it, they're more likely to want to participate in it.
Absolutely. So all the basics of any kind of communication, writing a good headline, making sure that your pitch is soft, but you know it's the viewer focused and that there's benefits to them and not just getting your word out there. So all great advice. I know that PR is kind of a subject that people have a hard time getting their arms around, because, you know, people in my industry are good at writing blogs and podcasts and sales videos and things like that. But PR is kind of like a, you know, it's one of those places where I think they need a little help. But I think you've got something that maybe will help them get their arms around that better. So can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Well, I have an online course that I've put together that's based on my years of doing these things. And that course is called the Self-Propelled Marketing Academy. And it allows small business people or solopreneurs or, you know, very or small companies that are looking to become their own publicity experts. And in this course, I teach you how to become your own publicity expert in ways that you can get results from it in a very short time and save yourself money at the same time. And we get into some of the things we've been talking about now, like newspaper calendars, like media contacts, like online advertising. So it's basically a step-by-step approach to how business people can start taking control and getting results and seeing their events get publicity locally, regionally, in some cases, even nationally. So if you'd like to learn more about Self-Propelled Marketing Academy, the easiest way you can do this is to go to If you'd like to learn more about Self-Propelled Marketing Academy, if you'd like to find out more information about Self-Propelled Marketing Academy and what it can do for you, the easiest way to do that is to go to baconpodcast.com/PR, and everything you want to know about this course will be available for your consumption and viewing pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And if people wanted to follow you or get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can look at my website, which is hankeder.com. That's Hank, like, you know, Hank Williams or Hank Aaron, Hank Eder, EDER.com. And if you'd like to email me with any questions about anything you've heard, you could just email me at hank@hankeder.com.
Awesome, Hank. Man, well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
I do too. This has been a pleasure.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.